This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Well, thank you for that word. If my mic works this morning, I want to continue with where we started off last week. Next year's theme is building God's house, or more specifically, building God's church. And I really have an expectation and a desire that it will become a reality in our congregation. Not man's church or Shofar's church or Andri's church, but that it will become God's church. If we were to take a blank sheet and take away all our expectation, experience, disappointment, limits, boundaries, if we were just to take a blank sheet and just ask God, God, what is your heart and your desire for church? If we can just put out our faith to start building a church that reflects God's desire for church, how would that be? How would that look? And that's really my heart for next year, as I believe God is laying on my heart to build a church that is His church and not man's church. And to really trust God through His Spirit to show us, to challenge us through His Word. What is His heart and desire for church? And if it's possible for us to put away all our experiences and expectations and limits and boundaries and just say, God, what is Your heart for church? And take that and put that before us and say, God, this is Your desire. God, I pray that You will give us the faith and the grace and empower us by Your Spirit to be able to grow to become that church. That's really my heart for us for next year. And with that in mind, we started to look at the greatest commandment. And last week, we looked at Jesus' response to that question by saying that we must love God. We must love God with all our hearts, all our soul, all our mind, and all our strength. And so we started to explore, what does it mean to love God like this? With all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, and all our strength. And then obviously, equal to this, like this, is that we must love our neighbor as ourselves. It's powerful that on these two commandments, to love God and love each other, all the law and the prophets are fulfilled. This is the essence of the revelation and the desire and the expectation of God. It's really summarized in this one verb that you must love. You must love me and you must love those that I love. You must love those around you. This is it. This is my heart and my expectation, is that you must love me and love others. The love of God will lead to godliness, purity, and obedience. The love of our neighbor will lead to compassion, care, and fellowship. And so today I want to start to look at the second commandment, to love our neighbor. It's very interesting. Jesus, in His final meal with His disciples, he had the last opportunity before He was betrayed and crucified, just to impart finally, conclusively, into these men that were to take His heart, His word, His teaching, and multiply it throughout the earth. And after Jesus has washed their feet and Judas left to betray Him, Jesus spoke these words in John 13. A new commandment I give to you, that you must love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this all will know that you are My disciples, if you have love for one another. By this all people will know that you are indeed my disciples, if you love the way I love." This is how the world will know. It's very interesting. Jesus started to teach a number of things in that final meal. And the first thing is humility, as Jesus humbled himself, took up a form of a servant. And then the second thing, to serve each other. Humbling himself, serving one another. And then he says, "Listen, I want you to love. This is the one thing by which the world will know that you are truly my disciples. If you love the way I love you." And yes, we are meant to preach the gospel and flow in the supernatural, but it is so interesting. Jesus says, the world will not know that you are my disciples by your great miracles and your great preaching. They will know you're my disciples by the way you love one another. And yes, he called us to preach the gospel. And yes, he empowered us by the Holy Spirit that we can flow in the supernatural. But God says, this is not the sign to the world that you are my disciples. This is the sign that you love one another the way I have loved you. Why? Well, I guess because you can do miracles and preach the gospel without knowing God or loving God. You can do miracles and preach the gospel without knowing and loving God. Jesus said in Matthew 7, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter in the kingdom of God, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not drive out demons in your name? Did we not perform miracles, many miracles?' And then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.'" So what is this love, and why is it so important? Well, 1 John 4 gives us insight into this. It says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love." Firstly, this portion of Scripture says that God is love. One of the reasons why it is so important, one of the reasons why the world will know through this powerful verb, is because this is who God is. I am love. This is how the world will know that you are my disciples, that you know me, because you live like me. You love like me. Love is from God. Love is the sign that we are born again, born of God. And it is the sign that we indeed know God. It continues in verse 9. It says, in this, and this is so powerful, "In this the love of God was made manifest amongst us, that God sent his only Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as the propitiation for our sins." It's so powerful. Not only, firstly, is God love, but secondly, God manifested himself in love through the incarnation. And we know John 3:16 that says, "For God so loved the world," that the motivation of sending his Son. But here it goes on and says, this is love. This is a definition. This is how God manifested himself. This is how God materialized in our presence, in the flesh, through love. By laying down his life. God manifested himself through love. God's manifest in the flesh is really an expression of love, and we see that how Christ lived his life. In this is love. And then thirdly, we read in verse 11, it continues, it says, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us." You see, what's so powerful about this is not only did God manifest himself in love, he still manifests himself in love.
He says, no one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God abides in us. He still manifests. He did not just in the past manifest himself through love. He still manifests himself through love. And this is how the world will not just know, but see God. It is through love. Why? Because God is love.
The more we love like him, the more the world around us will see him. And then fourthly, it says there again, and his love is perfected in us. If we are able to love one another the way he loves us, his love is perfected. The NIV says completed in us. The purpose of this demonstration of love, sending his son to the world to die for the lost, is complete in you and me when we are able to love the way he loves. It is the purpose of the expression of love towards us, that grace that we have received, the salvation that we have, the process of sanctification is complete. This expression of our salvation is complete in you and me. It's only complete in you and me when we love the way he loves us. That was the very purpose of sending his son, not just to save us, but to redeem us, to transform us, to become like his son. As we behold him in a mirror, we are being transformed from glory to glory into the very image of Christ. That is the purpose. Not just to save us, but to make us like his son. To make us like himself in this broken, hateful world that we find ourselves in. That love is perfected, completed, when we love like he loves. You know, God is most manifested when we love like the way he loves. The way God is most manifested in this world is when we, his children, love the way he loves. That's when the world sees God more clearly than ever before. How does this love look like? Well, before we go to 1 Corinthians 13, that gives us a definition of love that we know so well, I find it so powerful the context in which it was written. This definition of love, the context in it makes it even more powerful. So I want to start off with 1 Corinthians chapter 12 from verse 1 before we get to verse 13. And this first chapter before this love chapter speaks about the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit and the supernatural. And it starts here. It says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. There are a diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are differences of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, another faith by the same Spirit, and another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, and another the working of miracles, and to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, and to another different kinds of tongues, and to another interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. Now, as a church, we believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. That's what makes us a charismatic church. We not only believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, we believe in the exercising, the manifestation of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And this is so powerful because this portion of Scripture says there are different gifts. And the Holy Spirit chooses to whom he wants to give gifts. But he says it is for all of us. For all of us, God has given through the Holy Spirit the ability to flow in one of these gifts. And then it goes on to the next chapter and it says, listen here, even though there are different gifts, you are meant to be together as a body. The
I cannot say because I'm an eye, I have no need of you, because I'm a prophet and you have words of wisdom, or whatever the case may be. The one cannot say I'm better than the other. No, God deliberately, as He wills, gives us the ability to flow in these gifts as He chooses to. And we understand that it is something that we need to firstly believe before we can manifest this gift of the Spirit within us. We firstly need to believe it. And then secondly, we need to ask for it, desire it, pursue it. We are a charismatic church. That's what we do. But I want to encourage you at this point for next year. And if you listen to what the Word says, we all can have a gift. As a matter of fact, we all have the Spirit, so we all have a gift as He chooses. And I want to really encourage you for next year, when you work out your New Year's resolution, why don't you add to that list a desire, a pursuit for a growing in a spiritual gift? Why don't you add it to your list? If you're not flowing in one, why don't trust God, ask God. For this year, 2019, God, may you grant me the ability to discover and to grow in a spiritual gift. And if you already do, ask one for a greater one. Because that's what the Word encourages us to do. Then the rest of the chapter goes on, unity and diversity in one body. Even though we have different gifts, we are still part of the same. And then here in verse 27, now you are the body of Christ and members individually. And God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, and after that, miracles, the gift of healings, helps, administration, the various of tongues, varieties of tongues. And then these questions, are all apostles? No. Are all prophets? Are all teachers? No. Do all workers of miracles? No. Do all have the gifts of healing? No. Do all speak in tongues? No. Now, we have different gifts. It was purposed like that. Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the best gifts. No, we all have different gifts. But the Word of God says, desire the best ones. Pursue it. That's for next year. That's your New Year's resolution. I'm not expecting everybody to be prophets. And I'm not expecting everybody to do signs of wonders. And I'm not expecting everybody to heal. But it will be awesome if everybody has one of those. That's your New Year's resolution. And then this next verse, this is the last verse before we go to chapter 13. In your pursuit for the supernatural gifts of the Spirit and desiring the greatest ones, I want to show you a more excellent way. Something even greater than all these gifts. And yet I show you a more excellent way. This applies especially to us charismatics. Oh, in our pursuit for tongues and prophecies and healings and all that, there's something greater. In my Bible, the New King James, that's the one I read most, the heading there of 1 Corinthians 13 is the greatest gift. In the context of all these gifts, prophecy, miracles, words of wisdom, words of knowledge. In the context of all of these, the greatest gift. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, and I have not love, I have become a sounding brass and a clinging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy, understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith that I can remove mountains, but I have not love, I am nothing. And although I bestow all my goods and feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but I have not love, it profits me nothing. You see, love is the greatest gift. And what is this love? It continues. It says, love suffers long. It is kind. It does not envy. It does not parade itself. It is not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. It is not provoked. Thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. Bears all things. Believes all things. Hope all things. Endures all things. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will fail. And where there are tongues, they will cease. And where there is knowledge, it will vanish away. And now abide in these three: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these, the greatest gift, is love. Not a human love, a godly love. Not a love because something is beautiful or perfect. Now, God's love was while we were still enemies and sinners, God loved us. Not a love for things and persons through what we can gain. Christ didn't gain anything. He lost his life. It's a different kind of love. A love that the world does not know. That you cannot have apart from God in you. This is a love that can be only imparted supernaturally in and through us. It's the only way that the world will know that this is truly a follower of Jesus, because no man can love like this except if he knows God. This is the love. This is the love. That little slogan there, known for love, I pray it will not just be a slogan, but that we would be known for love. Not known for shofar or any other thing, or band, kiddies. Known for love. That people will be drawn to God because of something in us that are so different in the way we love people, that the world may see God in us and through us. Is it possible for us to trust God for this kind of love? And I want to encourage you to trust God for a spiritual gift for 2019. Pick one. Ask God. Pursue it. But can we all on that list that is going to be different have one thing in common? Love. God, will you teach me? Will you empower me? Will you change me? To be able to love the way you love. So may we also grow in this, the greatest gift of all. So our New Year's resolution should be a spiritual gift, but then also the greatest one. To grow in love. Love that suffers long, that is kind, that does not envy, that does not parade itself, that is not puffed up, that does not behave rudely, does not speak of its own or seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believe all things, hope all things, and endure all things. May God help us as a church to love each other. And this is where it starts. It doesn't start with loving the world. It starts with loving each other. Which is a very practical thing. And one can go into this whole concept. There's lots one can say. Judas left. By this the world will know you're my disciple if you love each other. Here. You guys around this table. Now that I've showed you
what humility and servitude is. This is how you ought to treat one another. If you love one another like this, the world will know. This is our goal. It's not just to love your wife more and your kids more, but to love each other more.
Oh, it's difficult for us in our modern society where we're so individualistic and so private. But is it possible to trust God to come and change us that we can step out of our bubbles and reach out to one another? To get to know one another with compassion and care and love for one another. Is it possible to put it on that list? And ask God to come and change us. Come and empower us.
Oh, as much as we need God to perform miracles and healing, so we need God to love. But we need to ask Him. We need to desire this. We need to pursue this. And that really starts with you and me as individuals. If we say, God, I want this gift that you have given me. Oh God, I pray that this love will grow and change me. Is that possible? That we as a church can grow to the point, oh, that we may be known for love. That testimony of that Malawian woman, I don't know if you remember that, when there was the riots and they had to flee for their lives, and we gave them some housing, and there was, the lean was passing by in a car and seeing a woman hitchhiking. And she stopped, a black woman, she picked her up and asked her, where are you going? And she started to describe a place, a church. And she said, you know, the church that is known for love, that's where I'm going. And then Deleen realized, but that's her church. May we not just be known for love in times of crisis, but may we be known for love always. May that be the testimony, and not just of our church. It starts with me as an individual. It starts with us as a church. May that be the testimony of the whole church in Hermanos. May we be known not just for the truth, but maybe be known for love. May God change us in such a way where Scripture says no one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God abides in us. And really, it starts practically just with those people in this room that you don't know. That's where it starts. It doesn't get more practical than this. The people in this room that you don't know. Oh, but especially those who come into that door for the very first time. That we will be so consumed by the love of God for us and understanding how great the love He has for us to have saved us, that we'll be equally excited when somebody new is into that door, not knowing that this might be the day where they may meet God. Oh, and they're not going to meet God through my great sermons, not that they had that great, or the amazing worship, or... This is the thing that changes people. It's the love of God. Jesus is the love of God. It's the expression of that, and He's poured Himself into us, and He says, now I want you to go and be me in this world. Can we trust God for that? Amen. Let us pray. Father, we want to thank You that You are known for love. You are known for sending Your Son while we were still enemies, sinners. We were still powerless to change. We had no intent to change. You are known for the fact that You sent Your Son to die for us because You love us so much. You are known for walking amongst us in our brokenness, in our sinfulness, healing everyone who came to You, sharing Your life, pouring Yourself out to the last drip of blood, so that we may be saved, so that we may have love and life. Oh God, You are known for love. And God, I pray that You will come, Holy Spirit, and empower us by Your Spirit to flow in Your gifts,
to prophesy and to teach and to heal and do miracles and words of wisdom and understanding and speaking in tongues and interpreting tongues and discerning of spirits. Oh God, I pray that you will come, Holy Spirit, and empower us to be witnesses. Oh God, but greater than that, God, I pray that you will empower us to love each other. So that when the lost come in, Lord, they come into love and not just the church. But they come into love. God, I pray that this year, Lord, that you will grant us the faith. Grant us the faith to believe you for the supernatural. And also the greatest of it all, to love you. Oh God, I pray that it will overflow in us in this time, Lord, with family and friends, but also with those around us that we don't know. Oh Lord, that it may be entrenched in us, Lord, so that it may overflow to the strangers outside of the church. And so, God, I pray that you will help us in this, because we cannot in our own strength love like this, but we can desire it, we can pursue it, we can put our faith out for it. And I ask for this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're doing communion. So if the ushers can take up the offering. Oh, the offering, communion. Hand out the communion. Hand out the communion. I didn't know it was communion, but I know now. But what a great sermon for communion. Just God's love expressed to us. And as we partake in God's demonstration of love towards us, His Son manifested for us, as we eat His flesh, as we drink His blood, as that symbols become one in us, may we express it to one another. Communion is not just a remembrance of Jesus, it's something that binds us together in a common denominator, which is the love of God. And we ask God, we acknowledge not just what He has done for us, but we ask Him to come and fill us. Let us do this in communion. Let us say, God, as we take of this today, afresh and new, God, I pray, Jesus, that you will manifest yourself in us, in me, towards those around me. Oh, and then I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you. And maybe we must do it this way. I will pray for the elements. But can we apply? Can we not just be hearers of the word, but doers? May I ask you today that you take your cup and your bread and you go to someone you do not know in church. You go to someone you don't know. And I know it's awkward, but you know what? This is what love does. It steps out of what is best for me. It's a sacrifice at times. And sometimes it puts us in awkward positions, but you know what? Love always wins. So is it possible that as we have all our elements, and after I've prayed, that we go to someone that we do not know, introduce ourselves and just give them, you know, like I always say, love is not a feeling, it's first a choice. It's a choice. So I want us to go to someone you don't know, look them in the eye, and for a half a second, try this out. For a half a second, choose to love that person. It's what it takes. It takes a half a second. For some, maybe a second or two. Look someone in the eye you don't know and just choose to love them. Give them a hug and then pray a blessing over them. Can we do that? Just practically. Okay. Let's wait first for everybody to receive. Is there anybody that still needs a cup? If you could just raise your hand if you still need a cup, there at the back, there at the side. Anybody who still needs bread? There at the back, somebody needs bread there. This is where it starts.
Not just loving those who love us, those who know us. You know, Jesus came to the earth to those who did not know Him. Jesus took the first step. This is part of Christianity. Taking the first step towards those who do not know you and loving them. So Father, I want to thank You. I want to thank You for this bread that symbolizes Your body that was broken for us, the sacrifice, the price that You paid to redeem us. God, I want to thank You for this body. And Lord, I want to thank You for this cup that symbolizes Your blood that was shed for us, that washes us clean, makes us new, takes away our sin, and brings us into Your presence without guilt, without shame, without fear. We want to thank You for these. God, I pray that as we eat and as we drink, God, that You will become more in us. In Jesus' name, let us eat together. Let us drink together.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.